Today on Real Life Radio.
Righteousness, friends, is not attaining some spiritual status. Righteousness is taking what you know and doing it. It's called doing the right thing. Just do it. Just do it. God will bless that.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 3, continues his series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter. Nothing seems to stop Peter from living out his faith in Jesus Christ, not even his age. Peter is a lot older nowadays than when he wrote his first letter to the church. Still, he's showing a determination that we all can take a lesson from, to have a resilient, unwavering, and effective kind of faith that can stand up against the godless age in which we live. Peter knows, of course, how hard-headed we can be. That's why he tells us again and again about what matters most in our walk of faith. The church is not just being attacked from the outside, but there are those out there who will try to deceive us from within. They're called wolves in sheep's clothing, and their purpose is to rob us of what's true and take from us the liberty we have in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So today on day two of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that when you're spiritually dry, false ministries cannot refresh you, and false promises cannot restore your strength. Eventually, your soul will die of thirst. It's only with the power of the Holy Spirit and studying the truths of the Bible can we find the living water that will never run dry. And now in his message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When you see a well, you know what we're talking about, a well? You know, we live in the 21st century. What's a well? The well, when you go to your kitchen, you turn it on. That's what we think a well is. But when you see a well, number one, it implies that you're in a dry place, and it implies that you're thirsty. That's why you'd care about a well. Oh, look, there's a well. What do you care unless you're thirsty? Hard for us to relate to this. Imagine if we were all in Death Valley today, where it's going to be 117 today. Imagine we all go to Death Valley, and we get out, we have a little water. And we're going to walk 20 miles. Hey, listen, when your water's done, if up ahead you could see what looks like a well, would you get excited? Absolutely. In fact, when you see that well and your step even picks up, oh boy, let's go. Hurry up, pick it up, there's a well. And you get to that well, and you know, we've all done this, right? There's nothing worse, especially when you're a kid. You get a rock, you hang over the hole of the well, and you drop it, and what do? You listen. And when it goes, that's not a happy sound. What do you want to hear? Splash. You want to hear water. The Bible says false prophets, false teachers, false ministries, they got all the looks, they've got all the things that can spin the emotion into action and get you going for 60 minutes. Now, there's nothing to them. They cannot refresh you. Our world today is covered with people who have been inoculated against the true gospel and inoculated against true spirituality. They've been given something of an injection in some religious experience, but they were never given any life-giving water. They went to wells that had no water. And you hang around a well like that and you begin to think that this is a definition of a well. It has nothing in it but a sandy bottom and I can get nothing from it. And the danger that Peter's been warning, and think about it, God's been warning us for 2,000 years. Ministry, there's ministry that kills people because it offers them nothing that can give life. We send probes out into space looking for water with hopes that there'll be life. Are they not looking for a well? If you think about it, we found a teaspoon of water on Mars. What are you so excited about? There could be life. What about your soul on the inside of you? Are you refreshed? Is that helper, the Holy Spirit, who was alongside, is he in you now? By the way, little bit of a tip, I'm going to ask you at the end of this regarding the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. And if he's in you, you don't have to guess. You'll know. And he will make himself known. But there are wells without water. Jesus warned of the Pharisees. Remember that? The disciples, Jesus was speaking, and he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Remember, he's warning them. Beware of the false doctrine of the Pharisees. And the disciples, it's so cute. You read it in the Gospels, and the disciples hear Jesus say that, and then it says that they began to say them on themselves, we should have brought bread. Jesus is teaching the Pharisees. They lead people astray. Woe unto them. They're terrible. They're all religious. They look amazing, but inside their life is full of dead men's bones. So beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And Peter goes, James, I told you you should have gotten a couple of loaves of bread last night. And Jesus has to tell them, I'm not talking about bread. He does. I'm not talking about bread. I'm talking about the Pharisees' doctrine. The Pharisees lead everybody into legal bondage. They use the law of God to wrap people up and keep them bound. So wait a minute, Jack. I thought the Bible says the law is good. Oh, no. The law is beyond good. The law is perfect. The Ten Commandments are perfect. I don't think anyone uses the Ten Commandments more effectively than our friend Ray Comfort. Ray Comfort can walk up to anybody and ask them, hi, what's your name? My name's Bob. So Bob, do you think you're a liar? No. Well, let's look at the Ten Commandments. Okay. And the next thing you know, Bob's on his face crying out to God and asking for salvation. Why? Because listen, everybody, God gave the law, the Ten Commandments, to show us our sin. When Jesus warns us, watch out for the leaven, the doctrine of the Pharisees, they were teaching, hey, get circumcised, do these rules and regulations, keep the law of Moses, and you'll make it to heaven. The only problem is nobody can do that. Jesus said, they lay that burden on you, and they don't even pull it themselves. False teaching, false doctrine. There's the church of legalism. You do these things, you do those things, you reach this standard, and you'll get a certificate, and you can be a member of this church. There are the cults, all of them rooted, not in grace and peace, not in God's mercy, all rooted in good works. There's probably never been more of an error in spiritual matters than for the cart to be in front of the horse when it comes to this issue of good works. Every born-again believer who's got the Spirit of God, of course, dwelling in them, good works will naturally come out of them because that's the Holy Spirit's work in you. You don't do it. Oh, come on, let's get up. It's Monday. We've got to go do good works. For what? So God will smile on me today. Stay in bed. It doesn't work that way. By the works of the law, the Bible says, shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. It's faith in him. Not a Sunday hour and a half faith, but a faith that's every day of the week. And the legalist will say something like, you need to keep the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments cannot be kept. You say, how dare you say that? Oh, it's simple to say it. God gives it to Moses, Exodus chapter 20, and God says, these are the Ten Commandments. Anybody who breaks these, they die. However, Moses, in the day that someone breaks these, go get this animal, innocent, unspotted sacrifice, get its blood, come back to me, and we'll apply the blood of innocence, and they'll be forgiven. You're going to sit here today, and you're going to preach some legalistic gospel, like when Paul the Apostle was preaching to the churches in Galatia, and they came along, and they tried to undermine the grace of God when they said, you know what, you can be born again, you just have to be circumcised. Listen, legalism always hurts, if you know what I mean. It leaves you wounded. Legalism always wounds you. No one ever goes, woo, awesome. Oh, what's up? I'm so legalistic. It is so cool. It's fantastic. They can't do that because they never even sense that in their lives because there's always a load. And there are so-called Christians walking around today that are either so-called Christians or they're Christians that are wrapped up in false doctrine. Follow me. I'm a Christian. It's so awesome to be a Christian. Come on, let's go. It's fantastic. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. What's wrong with you? I'm bound in legalism. That's destructive. They can never refresh you. Always do's, don'ts, rules, regulate. Never the love of God, which, listen, truly transforms. You say, well, I believe in God. But has it transformed you, this love that you have for God? It's very important. But they're wells without water. What a great disappointment. How do we combat that? In 2 Timothy 3:16, one of the great verses of the Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, what does it say? What's the first two words? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is, watch this, it is profitable for, number one, doctrine, number two, reproof, three, correction, four, instruction. For what reason? All in righteousness. All in the area of doing the right thing in life. This verse alone, I'm convinced this verse alone, once that you're a Christian, if we focused on that verse alone all of our lives, we would do well. The Bible is the answer. That's what that scripture is saying. Everything that you need to know about how to live your Christian life in the 21st century is tied up in that verse. You know what that verse means? By the way, this is the criteria. For those of you that are church shopping or church, I don't know what you call it. You know, you're going from, you're strutting. Hopping. No, I don't know. I mean, you're actually, forget hopping. That's bad. Don't hop. If you're church seeking, church shopping, hopping means you just keep, you just like a bee on a flower. Who needs that? That's great. You'll never grow, by the way, if you're a hopper. You won't grow. Find a church. This is the criteria. You are mandated. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hands. Okay, so you're mandated right here. All right, so honey, sweetheart, let's go look for a church. Okay, what are we looking for? Well, we need to look for a church where all scripture is present. The full counsel of God, okay? We need a church that is going to teach us. That's what doctrine is. Reproof means that it's kind of like a correction, but it's speaking into your life by way of, hey, come on, let's do it. Where it's, you know, it's kind of a, you know? Correction is exactly what it means. Jack, you know that's not me. You did that. Repent of it and don't do it again. Yes, Lord. He corrects. He shows you the right way. Instruction. What's the will of God for my life? All of this culminates in a simple meaning to a big word. Righteousness. Righteousness, friends, is not attaining some spiritual status. Righteousness is taking what you know and doing it. It's called doing the right thing. Just do it. Just do it. God will bless that. But the law points us to a righteous, holy God. When used rightly, that law should communicate to us that we cannot live up to God's requirements. In the moment you cast your face down on the ground in utter sheer terror and hopelessness, saying things like, who then can be saved? Then the gospel of Christ comes in. The word gospel is good news, and it just scoops you up. And the gospel of Christ sets you on your feet, and that gospel is that Jesus died on the cross for you, your sins. I know there's a big group here at Second Service, and I've said it once before. I'm going to say it probably many times before I die. We have a tendency to look at things in groups. Did you get a group? Did you get a Groupon for that? How many can we? Listen, when it comes to salvation, he died for all the world, but we're tempted to have that generic. It cannot be generic for you. It has to be specific for you. He is your Savior. Listen, we know this is true because sometimes in our lives, we can see, when we get our eyes off the power of his promises, we can see ourselves as being the only one that cannot be saved or redeemed or forgiven. You know what I'm talking about? We have that feeling about us. Well, I know God loves you, but I'm talking about me right now. And we, listen, we're funny people. The one original thought I've ever had in my life, I don't think I've had any other ones but this one. In fact, I said it one time and it wound up, you can Google it, it's a quote, but not now because you're paying attention. But I said, and it was picked up by Brainy Quotes or Goodreads or whatever it says, and never underestimate a man's ability to justify himself. That's true as the pendulum swings over here. Never underestimate a man's ability to justify himself. He'll go to great lengths. Or the pendulum swings all the way over here and we so condemn ourselves that we are absolutely without hope. And both are gross lies. The answer is Jesus. You find yourself on one side of any one of those two options, the answer is still Jesus. But the gospel comes in and saves. And it shouldn't be a surprise. We want to stand strong against those that are leading so many people astray. I heard it again this week, on Tuesday, that according to a certain group in Los Angeles, if I'm not baptized in their water, I cannot go to heaven. Watch out for stuff like that. This is nothing new, the gospel of God redeeming us from the holy righteous standards of the law. Jeremiah 31, 31 starts right there. Love this. Jeremiah 31, 31. God speaks to Jeremiah, Old Testament book, nearly 3,000 years ago. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Hey, Jewish friends, listen up. What's the old covenant? The Old Testament, the law. Jeremiah, your prophet, is saying that thus says the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Verse 32, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. And if you have some doubt, he's going to tell you what that is. In the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke. Remember that? Remember Moses is coming down the mountain carrying the Ten Commandments? In stone. God wrote them. Moses walking down. I wonder how big they are. Don't you wonder how big they are? Were they like a little thing? He walked down the mountain with them. So it's like Moses buff and strong. Was it supernatural that Moses carried them? I don't think so. I've always wondered how big they were. But it has nothing to do with our Bible study. I was just wondering that. So Moses comes down the mountain. And poor Joshua, he's been waiting there at the base of the mountain for 40 days. What a guy. He's not with Moses and he's not with the people. He's all by himself. And the mountain's shaking and he sees it, trembles. Joshua's standing there. Moses comes down and Joshua goes, the people are rejoicing. Here? And Moses says, they're not rejoicing. They're partying. And, come on. And they went and the people were, it was not good. And Moses, boom. He didn't even get to say the first one. No, he just said nothing. Oh, what? Oh, man. Before they even heard it. But there's a great story in that. There's a great meaning in that. They broke. Right here in Jeremiah, it tells us that they broke. They broke them. Though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, verse 33, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Now watch this, because throughout the Bible, this appears and applies to Israel and Gentiles. It's universal. I will put my law in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God. They shall be my people. That's the born-again experience. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Spirit of God, remember, and he will be in you. The mark of the believer is not an external Ten Commandments. The mark of the believer is the internal truth of God welded to you. It's placed in you. God does that. It's called salvation. You don't conjure it up. You don't try to do it and because it's the thing to do. He does it. Sovereignly does it in your life. He takes over. And he shows you that you're not only his, but he turns you around and he sends you, as it were, down the mountain to a lost world. Cool thing is, the law of God is in your heart now. And you want to fulfill it. You want to live it. When you break it, you go straight to Christ and you say, Lord, I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have done that. That's the amazing thing. The Ten Commandments could only be broken once you committed the crime. But the law of God can be broken in the heart and in the mind. Never even lived out. That's good news, people, because that's how personal our God is. But that's only true for the believer. See, the cults and the false prophets and the false pulpits, they'll never teach this. Constant dependence upon them. Constant dependence upon our movement or our denomination or our thing. Watch out. And we could go on and on, by the way. Ezekiel 36:26 echoes the same thing about having a new heart. Look at that. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Remarkable. Awesome. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds, and I will write them. Then he adds in verse 17, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. But what about legalism? Listen, don't anybody leave yet. Ushers, just lock the doors. This is so important. After I give you this verse, you can leave, but not before. If today you are saying to yourself, I'm okay. Okay, I want to ask you, why are you okay? First of all, I never heard of a believer who knows Jesus to say regarding their soul, I'm okay. Did you hear? Listen. I've never talked to a real true believer who says regarding their soul, oh, I'm okay. Now, you may be struggling with your walk. Sure, of course. But don't we sing, it is well, it is well, it is well with my soul? That's the foundation today, is the true gospel generates a real peace in your heart. Do you understand what's going on in the world? Nope. Mask, no mask. Job, no job. Socialism, communism, republic, I don't know. It's all messed up. It's all crazy. You know what that causes me to do? Fight for what's right, but at the same time, I'm looking up. Lord, come on. Lord, please come. Lord, come today. Jesus, come for us today.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio. In his message called What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 3. Thanks for joining us today. What You Really Need to Know About Who's Out There, Part 3, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Quick question for you. Have you ever been passionate about pursuing a dream? And what if you were surrounded by people who feel equally as passionate about that same dream as you do? How far would you go with it, and to what end? Our founding fathers had a vision to make America a city on a hill, a beacon of faith shining for all the world to see. And their mission? To exalt the gospel of Jesus Christ and the God who gave it. July's book of the month is called Forged in Faith by Rod Gregg, a fascinating history of the New World taking you from 1607 to 1776 and the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Forged in Faith, it's a dramatic, action-driven narrative that's not just about a story from long ago, it's our story. Pastor Jack is sure you'll be blessed when you order your own copy of Forged in Faith by Rod Gregg. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.